In 1961, 10 African Americans were convicted of trespassing and breach of peace for refusing to leave a McCrory's store all-white lunch counter in downtown Rock Hill, South Carolina. The men were given two options at sentencing: serve 30 days in jail or pay a $100 fine. 9 of the 10 chose jail and received 30 days of hard labor at the York County Prison Farm. It was the beginning of the jail, no bail strategy of the civil rights movement. The group of 9 is known as the Friendship 9, named for the junior college many of them attended. Their convictions are still on the books, but that will change later today. York County Solicitor Kevin Brackett will tell a judge the convictions should be cleared. We spoke to him outside the courtroom where today's hearing will take place. So how did this hearing come about?
Well, the issue of the injustice that was done back in 1961 when these men were arrested and charged with trespassing has been a topic of discussion in our community for several years. And several people have approached me over the years about trying to help them get a pardon, which I've always been willing to do anything I could to help them. I agree that an injustice was done. They never should have been charged and convicted. But a pardon always struck me as sort of a poor response, because a pardon is really an act of forgiveness by the government. And if you didn't do anything wrong, then you don't need forgiving. So I was always a little bit hesitant about that, and in my discussions, that was always my concern, was is that it might appear as these guys were asking for forgiveness, and they didn't need forgiveness. What they needed was justice. Recently, I was approached again, and the same question asked, but this time I just thought about it a different way. And in thinking about how we could crack this nut and how we could really address the fundamental wrong that was done, it occurred to me for the first time that maybe what we needed to do was attack the underlying conviction, really get to the conviction itself and undo that, because it never should have happened in the first place.
So if you will you just walk me through what will actually happen during the hearing?
Well, the judge will come out and court will be called to order. He will recognize the parties and then allow the defense to make the motion to vacate the convictions. And then the court will recognize me, and I will respond and give the state's position. And I will consent to the motion. Basically, I agree with the motion. I think that these convictions do need to be vacated. So then the judge will take that into consideration, consider the law, and issue his ruling.
And will there be any witnesses?
No witnesses will need to be called, because this is strictly a legal question. This isn't a fact question where we need to take testimony.
What about any of the members of the Friendship 9? Will they be present?
Yes, the Friendship 9, the surviving 8 members of the Friendship 9 will be present. The additional 10th man who went and marched with them down and sat in at the diner back in 1961, Mr. Taylor, is going to be present as well, I understand. He did not serve the full 30 days. After a few days, he bonded out because he was going to lose his scholarship if he didn't. So they all agreed he didn't need to lose his scholarship. So he bonded out, but of the nine, eight will be here.
How do they feel about all of this?
I think that you'll of course have to talk to them, but I think they're happy to see that this day's come, that the community and especially the law is finally recognizing that they were in the right and that they did no wrong. In fact, what they were doing was beneficial, and they were trying to change a bad law.
Have you talked to them?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, I've known a couple of them for some time. Jim Wells is one of the Friendship 9, and he was a lawyer who practiced here when I first started out in 91. He and I worked cases together, and Dub Massey was a magistrate judge. I worked with him a little bit. So, oh, yeah, I know they're all great guys.
Well, I'm curious, having spoken to them and having friendships with some of them, what have you learned just knowing them and talking to them?
Well, I think it's really interesting, the contrast with what they did back in 1961 with some of the problems that we're having in this country now with Ferguson and New York, some of the issues that are going on. They really made a huge difference in our community and in our country with the sacrifice that they made, but they did it in a nonviolent way, and they were able to get the job done using nonviolent methods. And I think that's an important lesson that everybody can take away from this. And secondly, I think the other important lesson is that that ultimately the right bears out and wins. And, you know, it may take a while for it to come around. It may take a while for justice to finally come to the top, but it does in the end, and it will in this case.
You mentioned earlier that this is something that you had been thinking about and people had been asking you about it, and that you said you would happily do it. Do you feel a personal connection to this?
I do. I'm really honored to be a part of it. You know, I mean, the civil rights movement and what these men in particular accomplished is such a monumental event in the history of our country. And, you know, my role in it is small. I'm just sort of the architect of finding the way to make this right. But I'm proud of the part that I'm playing and just honored to be part of the story.
Solicitor Kevin Brackett, thank you for the time.
Thank you very much.